The Tom Woods Show, episode 2065.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, folks, if you have had it up to here with the COVID irrationality, you are going to love my free ebook, COVID Charts CNN Forgot. Pick it up at chartstheyforgot.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here, talking to Angela McArdle today. She chairs the Libertarian Party of Los Angeles County. She is seeking the office of chair of the Libertarian National Committee, which essentially is chair of the party. And she is undertaking something very, very important in California against, in effect, the vaccine passport system there, which is really draconian and evil and awful. And I want to encourage this because I'd like to see people who I think we should be resisting everywhere. In a lot of cases, it makes sense to just uproot yourself and get out of there. I completely understand and sympathize with that. But I also very much understand and sympathize with people who stand their ground and fight because this city doesn't belong to you crazy people. I love city X or Y myself, and I'm going to stand here and fight for it. So Angela, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get into the details here. Now, this is one of these cases where you know all the details and I don't. Like, so if we're talking about whether we should have a gold standard or not, well, we could equally divide that topic. But this one, you know the details and I don't. So I'm going to ask you the most intelligent questions I can think of, but you feel free to go wherever you like because, as I say, you're the one who has the information. So let's start off by having you describe exactly what the requirements are right now in your area when it comes to living your life the way you used to a couple of years ago.
So in the city of Los Angeles, it is currently the law that you've got to show proof of vaccination to enter any indoor business, except a church, drugstore, or grocery store. And the city attorney is working on ways to enforce that more aggressively. And businesses are fined up to $5,000 a pop for each violation. So it's pretty rough.
Okay, because I heard stories initially that it wasn't being enforced all that vigorously. And I think that may have been true for the first couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, it just got switched on. Now, meanwhile, is Orange County neighboring?
Orange County is neighboring.
Okay, yeah. They don't have a system like this, do they?
No, not at all. It's like a completely different culture in Orange County.
But there must just be corpses piled up along the side of the road there then.
Right, right. Thousands of dead grandmas. Quite tragic.
Yeah. So in other words, obviously there's no difference whatsoever, except in one area you're harassing, basically you're harassing dissidents. You're harassing people you are politically frustrated with. And you have to know it's not going to have any effect because you live right next to a place where it's exactly the same. So, I mean, I guess there's probably not much point in speculating about the motives behind these things, but I frankly think that they are motivated by political spite. They can't possibly be motivated by health.
Oh, absolutely. When the Libertarian Party of LA County first started really speaking out against this proposal at the city council back in August of last year, city council was openly mocking us and everyone else who called in concerned about the mandates. One city council member made fun of us for being upset that our so-called individual rights were being infringed upon. It's very clearly a political agenda.
All right, so now let's talk about what it is that you're trying to do. Now, you have a legal background, and that's how you make your living, so that probably doesn't hurt in all this, but describe for people what your next step is.
Okay, so yes, I do have a legal background, and that was really helpful in trying to navigate all of this and figure out what to do. So what we've done in LA is we have filed an initiative to overturn the vaccine mandate. So this is a ballot initiative similar to the Newsom recall campaign. And we've just launched a little over a week ago, and we have started collecting signatures. We've got to get about 65,000 signatures from people who live and vote in the city of LA in order to get our initiative on the ballot. And it will possibly be a special election. So that's sort of where we're at right now in this project.
Okay. So is the initiative written in such a way, is it it's just brief? Is it just a paragraph? Does it say such and such is hereby repealed, something like that?
Oh, it's briefer than a paragraph. I'm going to read the text of an entire proposed ballot initiative on your podcast. Here it goes.
All right.
Ordinance number 187219 is hereby repealed and replaced with nothing. That's it.
Oh, I love the, you could have just put the period after repealed, but you had to continue on with that great, brilliant libertarian formulation of and replaced with nothing. You just had to do that.
I'm going really hard on the libertarian branding with this particular initiative.
I absolutely love that. All right. Now, let me throw an objection at you. And I have no objections. I think what you're doing is great. But you mentioned the Newsom recall. That failed. And it seems like the public, I mean, L.A. County is not right-wing. Although I don't see why you have to be right-wing to oppose this stupid, pointless system. You know, it's ridiculous that somehow this has been so politicized that people think you have to be Ted Cruz or something to be against this system. It is ridiculous. But doesn't it seem likely that the public at least grudgingly supports this? And so you could get on the ballot, but what's the point?
Well, I thought that might be the case and that I was going to try it out of principle anyway. But it turns out that we've had overwhelming support from the public. And we were on every single Los Angeles, Southern California, mainstream news media outlet over the past week. We have dominated the news and we have dominated even mainstream news Twitter polls. There was a KCAL poll, 55% of the people who voted were in favor of repealing it. And that's nothing to sneeze at.
No, that is nothing to sneeze at. That's very surprising to me.
Uh-huh. And we've actually had a lot of progressives sort of come out of the closet on this issue and message me and thank me and say that, you know, they still consider themselves progressives and people from the left, but they can't believe that their party and their peers have supported this thing. And, you know, they've all got their own reasons for being upset about it. Some people who are into like holistic health, some people who just want to have a choice and they see this as an infringement upon their freedom. I've had a lot of tearful thank yous and people who want to get connected who are definitely not from the libertarian circle. So that's been surprising and really encouraging.
Ah, now how interesting is this, given that there are times when people like me are accused of not reaching out enough beyond our circles or not reaching out to people in this area or that area. But I think you and I do more reaching out than all the naysayers put together. I don't see them doing anything. And incidentally, if I may say in parentheses, it's 10 years since I created my Liberty Classroom website as of this year. Next year, it'll be 10 years since I started working on the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, a K-12 curriculum that, you know, teaches important things and it teaches the various subjects so that they get both sides for a change. And at the time that came out, I had a whole bunch of people, oh, this is terrible because we don't like Gary North or whatever it is. Now, they had never seen a single thing I taught in that thing. They didn't see a single, because they're all cheapskates, so none of them bought it. So right. I've got lectures on every topic under the sun, from the ancient Hebrews to the present in Western civilization. I've got 90 lessons on government of all different topics that any libertarian would be salivating at if they looked at these things. You can find these courses at TomWoodsHomeschool.com, by the way. Anyway, so I did all this, huge amount of work, and it, if you want to have a libertarian perspective on Aristotle, it's in there. You know, it's all in there. And it was just attacking, attacking, attacking. None of them had seen a word of it. None of them had accounts. And so I said, all right, well, okay, if mine doesn't satisfy you, where is your K-12 homeschool curriculum? And the answer I got was, oh, that's just not fair. And of course, how could you expect? Okay, well, you've had 9 years now. 9 years later, have you done anything to have a K-12 program? Have you done anything? No. And yet these are the people who say, I don't do enough and I should be more like them. If we were more like them, nothing would ever happen. And I know you write about libertarian infighting. You actually are out here doing something. And almost always the people criticizing you don't do anything, which is why I thought it was neat. I read a tweet by, a Facebook update by Anthony Welty saying, you will never be criticized by people who are doing more than you. You are always criticized by people doing less. All right, there is my side soapbox thing, but feel free to comment on that.
It's very true. the only criticism I've received in the Libertarian Party has been from people who do nothing. Well, that's not true. I mean, they spend a lot of time watching what you and I do and fretting over it and wringing their hands and, you know, having emotional breakdowns.
I know. Where is their K through 12 homeschool program? They had 9 years to put one together. I think if they had 99 years, there still wouldn't be one. There would never be one. Because either they're lazy, they're too dumb to do it. I don't know. They never have any money. Now, I'm not judging people on the basis of where they have money. There are a lot of people who have very little money, do a lot of great work. But these people are just losers, so that just goes with the territory. I don't know what to say, but I'm going to get off this topic because I genuinely don't think about these people unless I'm in this kind of situation. And I think, here's Angela out here doing the thing that the National Party should be coordinating everywhere, but she's actually out there doing it. I will hear no criticism of Angela.
So it's interesting. Let me provide you with a good transition because I've been out tabling at all these like Patriot, Liberty, anti-mandate events. And a lot of parents have come up to me and they're very upset about school and what's going on in school and mandates in school and education. They're just finally waking up. And one of the things I do is I tell these people when they're upset and worried about pulling their kids out of school and how are they going to manage it, is I actually tell them to go look up the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. And, you know, like a lot of these people are coming over from the conservative movement, but they're not really plugged into conservative politics, just sort of what they see on social media. And they're actually very ripe for the picking. I never try to do a hard pressure sale on them and get them to join right away, the Libertarian Party, because I don't actually think that that's good and that that's how you win over people, not in a way where they're going to be serious members, right? So I try to really give them the tools and resources to help them understand what libertarianism is and get them immersed in libertarian culture and see us in action. And then they want to join and then they're really bought in and they're all in. But the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum is a huge part of my pitch right now.
I appreciate that. RonPaulHomeschool.com for anybody interested. Now, let's get back to your topic more directly. 65,000 signatures to my layman ear sounds like an insurmountable obstacle. How do you propose going about that?
So it's a very good question. And I will tell you that it's definitely not insurmountable. But this is the strategy we used. And I highly recommend that everyone adopt it in their local area whenever you have a local issue. When city council announced that they were going to probably put this into place, when they first started talking about it, what I did is I lined all of my guys up in the Libertarian Party on our executive committee. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start doing call-ins. You've got 1 to 3 minutes. So I want you to write out what you're going to say in opposition to this. Speak from the heart, but always make sure that you explain where you're from. You're from the Libertarian Party of LA County, and that we're actually going to take action. We're going to file an initiative or a referendum to change the law, and you tell them what our website is, lplac.us. And that's how we started building this movement. So we started doing that back in August, and we still have guys calling in and complaining and lamenting and telling people to take action on city council calls. And every time that happens, we get at least 30 new hits on our website, people calling me directly, people sending us emails, Googling us. Before long, we started getting the LA Times interested in us. I didn't even have to send out press releases anymore. Media was coming to me. So that's how we built a lot of grassroots momentum around this with people that we don't even know.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, I assume you have because you're well-connected, you have a robust group of libertarians that you have people who can, I suppose, get out there and do these sort of tasks that involve drudgery, but that need to be done if you're going to have success.
And people are amped up about it because what's been happening in LA is people have been having rallies, they've been having protests, but there's been no real call to action. Nothing outside of like an overglorified change.org position. So no one really had established any leadership on the topic. Like, what are we going to do? And so now all of the little groups, right? There's like firefighters. There's, believe it or not, there's feds for medical freedom. I know. There's all these groups though, right? And they're all coalescing around this initiative and joining forces and networking. We're going to have people petitioning outside of the Super Bowl. We found a bunch of businesses to sponsor us, places that are drop-off locations for petitions once they're signed. A lot of people have a lot at stake here, and so there is a lot of buy-in.
Hey, folks, as part of my sponsor message for BitTrust IRA, let me tell you what I gave two of my daughters for Christmas this year. I gave each of them 1/100th of a Bitcoin. Now, if you don't know about Bitcoin, that might not sound like a lot, but these days it kind of is. And I thought that giving them a stake in Bitcoin would be a great way to introduce them to it. And of course, a lot of people have become very interested in Bitcoin, especially over the past several years, and they know they should hold it, but the cryptocurrency world can be confusing. Well, one thing a lot of people have been doing is adding Bitcoin to their retirement accounts. And BitTrust IRA helps you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. BitTrust IRA stores your private keys in nuclear bunkers with military-grade encryption. Plus, they have a 24/7 trading platform with no minimum investments and unlimited trades, plus a team to help guide you along the way if you have any questions. They also offer the lowest trading fees in the industry. Go to bittrustira.com/woods today to learn more. And for a limited time, BitTrust IRA is waiving the sign-up fee for Tom Woods Show listeners. That's a $50 value. That's bittrustira.com/woods. bittrustira.com/woods. What's it been like living in LA County? I mean, there's a question I want to ask. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I know that in New York City, you can find a handful of places that'll look the other way and just let you in. Is there anything like that there?
Yeah, there are definitely plenty of places that will look the other way and let you in. But then we sort of get into, well, what about the places that don't? And what about circumstances where you've really got to get in? There's definitely some problems there. You know, there are no large concert halls that are turning their heads and looking the other way, for example. The larger the operation, the more there is at stake, the more you're pressed to show proof of vaccination and identification and, you know, all of that nonsense. So it's definitely a worthwhile endeavor. And one of my biggest concerns about all of this is that, yes, it's very easy to sneak into a place, you know, to do what it is you got to do to get in. But it won't be if this goes to a digital system. All of that sneaking will go away. And so we really need to be on guard against that. We really need to be on guard. We need to strike at this thing before it gets too out of hand. I mean, it's already too out of hand. It's definitely out of hand.
So when would this be voted on?
We don't know yet. It takes 120 days to collect the signatures.
Oh, I see. So this could be separate from an election, because usually when see ballot initiatives, they're sitting there alongside your electoral choices.
It's not guaranteed, but it could be a special election where it's the only thing on the ballot.
I see. Okay.
That remains to be seen. One of the few struggles I've had in this whole process has been a lot of back and forth with the city elections office. So I'm saying this now, and I hope that in 2 weeks they don't send me some insane email telling me I have to wait till November. Like, it's been a real struggle.
I bet. Now, the trend right now, at least, does not seem to be more of these systems being set up. It seems that the existing systems are being dismantled, or they're laying out metrics by which they will be dismantled. The major holdouts where you don't hear anything like this seem to be New York City and Los Angeles.
That's correct.
So what do you make of that?
Well, I believe that LA and New York are epicenters of culture, and culture flows out of these two major metropolitan areas. And so we've really got to be on guard. You know, even Gavin Newsom said that the mask mandate was going to go away soon, but Mayor Garcetti, LA's mayor, said, no, we're not going to do away with it in LA. So there's definitely, you know, some hubris and defiance and authoritarianism going on. But I am very concerned that perhaps higher authorities, higher levels of government are relying on LA and New York to set the standard.
And that just doesn't seem to be working.
It does not.
I think these have had catastrophic effects already on business owners and stuff. And business owners have been much, much more cowardly than I thought they would be.
Yes.
But they know, if you were to say to them, here are the restrictions we're going to place on entering your business, immediately they know, number one, this is pointless because I've read the literature about the vaccines. I know this has nothing to do with health. And, you know, I'm not an idiot. And secondly, anything that restricts people from entering my business and cuts off international tourism to my city is going to kill me. They know that.
That's the thing that's really crazy, is the tourism industries have not thrown a fit. I can't really wrap my head around that.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they deserve what happens to them. And I don't really mean that. You know, in my heart of hearts, I don't really mean that. But, geez, you won't stand up for yourself. And then you have all the voiceless people who work in the You know, you have the professional associations who could issue a joint statement or something and indicate what their position is. But then you think about the regular person who just like works the phones at some kind of travel organization or something, and they have no voice whatsoever, and they're getting ruined too, and they don't want to be ruined. And some of them are smart enough to know that it has nothing to do with, it can't possibly have anything to do with health. And to sit there and let those people just wither on the vine is incredible to me.
It really is. And I've spoken with so many city employees and government workers who have been very red-pilled over this. They've lost their jobs. They've been fired and cast out by the people that they thought supported them. Like, it's really radically changed how a lot of people view government in LA, which in my opinion, you know, like I feel so bad for them that they've gone through this painful experience, but it's a good thing that they're waking up to the evils of government overreach. And I'm just really glad that we've been there to receive them and kind of usher them into the Libertarian Party. It's been really great to get to be the leader on this. I think this is the first anti-mandate initiative that's been filed in the whole country. So that's a pretty significant thing too.
Yeah. Now I'll say, because I sometimes haven't made this distinction carefully enough, that state and local chapters of the party have, in some cases, been quite good on these issues.
Yes.
It's the national party where my complaint is. I'm not saying that nobody in the party has been doing any good work. That's certainly not true. And I've talked to quite a few people who have done good stuff. But I don't understand the libertarianism of people who wouldn't support you 100%. I don't understand people who say Hillary Clinton's problem is that she thinks taxes should be 5 percentage points higher than I think. That's like problem number 812 with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And the establishment who rules this country is sinister and evil and also kind of stupid. Honestly, I mean, yeah, they're smart in a, you know, sly like a fox kind of way, but really, they're not bright. They're not going to be able to, you know, recite a list of classics of English literature they've read, you know, most of these people. So it astonishes me that there are people whose gut instinct, whose knee-jerk reaction is, we have to listen to Dr. Fauci. I mean, that's your level of libertarian analysis, that the quote-unquote expert in quote-unquote public health, the whole area of which should be sending alarm bells out to you as a libertarian, that this person who's trotted out to us by the state is probably the only voice worth listening to. It's unbelievable to me. I don't even want to have this debate with you because you're hopeless.
Yep.
And I try to be pretty ecumenical and reach out to people and try and see if we can make common ground or something. That's unbelievable to me.
My theory is that there are free market Democrats. This is very small chunk of Democrats, and they have all migrated to the Libertarian Party. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. And the Libertarian Party offers a unique platform for free market Democrats, unfortunately, which is that we don't really gatekeep our principles very well, at least not in this respect. And so we welcome people in and we don't have good standards. And, you know, the rest is history, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at now. But things are changing, and that's really good. So things are changing, and I'm very optimistic about the climate in the Libertarian Party and the direction that it's heading in. And maybe we could be optimistic about the direction that politics are headed in as well. I think that we're on the cusp of something really incredible happening in this country.
All right. Before we wrap up, I want you to connect your chair race for the LNC to this issue, because this episode is being released the very day that I am hosting a meet and greet and fundraiser review in the beautiful, I don't want to say the exact hotel because I'm staying there all week and I don't want people bothering me, but let's just say it is a beautiful penthouse room that I'm enjoying this week that I opened up to you and supporters to raise a nice big chunk of dough for your chair race. So talk about that chair race in the context of this initiative in particular.
Absolutely. So this is just one of the many things that I've started to master that I'm going to help and make accessible to other people in the Libertarian Party. This is definitely something that you're going to see the National Party champion and start rolling out and encouraging state and county affiliates to do throughout the country over the next year. Initiative processes are, I really do believe that they're part of our political future. And we need someone in charge who has their finger on the pulse and who understands what's happening in politics. And what I mean by that is that I think that politics are starting to go the same way that the music industry, television and entertainment, and social media have all gone. I think that things are starting to fracture and blow apart and reorganize themselves in a little bit more decentralized fashion. And I do think that if the Libertarian Party has the right leadership, project management, conflict resolution, those other things that I'm good at, strategic planning, that we're going to be able to emerge as thought leaders in some of these areas. And so I'm really excited about that. I keep trying to explain to other Libertarian Party members that when people say they want a new third party, what they're communicating is that they want more choices. They don't want three giant monolithic parties. They want to blow apart the things that have disappointed them and governed their lives and create something new. And I'm very optimistic that the Libertarian Party, even though we are pretty old, we're 50 years old at this point, we're small enough that we can pivot quickly and effectively rebrand ourselves to meet people's actual needs, initiatives, school choice, real local grassroots political engagement. I think that we've got a challenge ahead of us. It's to meet people where they're at, and I'm ready to rise to that challenge.
Well, it would be an extremely welcome development, let's say, if you were to be elected chair of the LNC, because maybe some of the people who have done nothing but protect their stupid territory. Look, I'm the chair of such and such, or I'm the this or that. Like, this is all they have in their lives. So
yes,
I'm part of this very, very small party, but I have a big title and everything. But then when it actually comes to doing things, all they do is discourage you. This would discourage them, frankly,
right,
is what we do. But also it would encourage a lot of people who have been embarrassed by the party, that just jumps on every left-wing bandwagon, uses the same left-wing terminology the media uses to demonize dissidents. That's extremely disappointing. As a libertarian, you're not smart enough to see through the calling everyone in the world a fascist thing, really? You're dumb enough to go along with that? Come on. So yes, Angela McArdle running things. First of all, the fact that you work full time and you do things like this initiative and all the other insane projects you do in your quote unquote spare time gives an indication of the energy you would bring to this job. So thoroughly support you. I'm glad to be doing this fundraiser tonight. Is there a website you want to send people to? Like, they may want to act on this. Maybe they want to sign a petition. What should they do?
Absolutely. So if you go to medicalfreedomla.com, and click Get Involved, you can see a copy of our initiative and an FAQ guide on how to fill it out and how to collect other signatures and how to turn it in. There's also a donate link, so you can donate to the initiative as well, and you can just spread the word with your friends and family who live in or near LA.
Okay, excellent. So medicalfreedomla.com, click Get Involved. I'll post that at tomwoods.com/2065. Angela, I know you're about to hop on a plane, so thanks for carving out this time today. And best of luck.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, before we go, I have to share with you one of the cleverest website names I've heard in quite a while. It's a site that sells shirts against the military-industrial complex and in favor of peace. And so the site is called antitanktops.com. So antitanktops.com. That's really great. But even if you don't wear tank tops, they also sell shirts and hoodies, and they're pro-peace and the Fed, and you'll love it. So check it out. Support a Tom Woods Show listener at antitanktops.com. I just love anti-tank tops. That's so great. Anyway, antitanktops.com. I'll put the link at tomwoods.com/2065. And remember, you can get nice publicity for a site you're thinking of starting. But before you start that site, check out my deal and how to get it. TomWoods.com/publicity. Here's how you can get free traffic from Old Woods here. So TomWoods.com/publicity is where to go, and I'll see you all tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.